All right, welcome to week 12 of the Helped podcast. And here's Matt with announcements.
Yeah, one big announcement this week is our very special guest coming to us from England is Troy Carpenter. Welcome, Troy.
Hi, Matt. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, Troy. How's the weather in England?
Oh, it's pretty cold at the moment, and it's going to get colder next week.
Well, I live in Southern California, so I don't understand what you're talking about. So, Troy, you and I worked together when I was over in England. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, of course. Predominantly come from a distribution background. Started back in 1999 selling Cisco for a company that's since been acquired. I went on to work for the largest IT distributors in the world. But of the 23 years I've been in IT, three of them were working for a vendor, which is where, of course, we met.
23 years, I mean, that's almost as old as Matt.
Yeah, I don't like to say, but when I started, it was actually the last millennium.
Wow. I graduated high school in the last millennium, so I guess that's how old I am. Probably the only one in this room to be able to say that. All right, so now, Troy, we're at Helped, essentially a customer service, a customer support organization. You know, it's technically oriented, but to us, the most important thing is a positive customer experience. So now, your background, sales, IT sales, distribution sales, what tech support, customer service, what do they mean to you as a sales guy?
Well, I think it's a really good question, because I think when you mention customer support, customer services, I think a lot of people will, maybe outside of the industry, will think of things like restaurants. You go to a restaurant, you've had a bad experience, the customer service was bad, I'm not going back there. For me as a salesperson, you know, it was my job, not only obviously to close deals, get orders in, all that sort of stuff, but I didn't ever want my customers speaking to customer services, because if they were speaking to customer services, it meant something had gone wrong. And customer services, in my opinion, particularly within distribution, it's a team that your customers are pointed towards when something goes wrong. They kind of shouldn't really exist in the first place, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you felt like some of the places you've worked, some of the stuff you've been selling, things never go wrong?
Well, let's be honest, you know, we work in distribution. Well, I've worked in distribution. You know, we're moving kit around, and the job is to get a bit of kit from A to B in a timely fashion. You know, there's a lot of chains in that link, you know, and things do go wrong. Ultimately, you know, a van can get a flat tire. A bit of kit doesn't come up into the warehouse when it should, you know, whatever the reason. But I think, like I say, for me, the main thing I've been driven by is to try and steer the customer away from having to speak to customer services in the first place.
Okay. So let's say something made its way to the customer and, you know, they used it for a little bit and then they had an issue. And now they need that post-sales tech support. I mean, for a lot of people, you see that as a failure, but for us, we're starting to see that as a way for us to really be there for the customer and to build a foundation with the customer. Do you ever have any experiences where, you know, maybe you had a customer that just bought something because they needed it, and then they had an awesome tech support experience and said, I'm coming back to you for everything?
Yeah, 100%. So I've dealt with you know, customers that have been, you know, two or three people right up to maybe 500, 600, 700 people that are fully technically aware, should know what they're doing. But, you know, if somebody can't work a product and they phone your pre-sales, post-sales, and they need some help, it's really important to have that help on hand to be able to show them how to configure, how to install, you know, how to use a product, you know, because if you just shift a box and say, there you go, mm-hmm. and you can't use it, and there's no customer support afterwards, then there's no real value there. You know, you might as well be, you know, an Amazon or a, you know, yeah. In the UK, we have Argos, you know, you're just shifting boxes.
Click and collect. I know it well.
Yeah. Well, and to be fair, And it's a really good, it's a good point, actually. Leads us on to a really good point, because when I started in distribution, it was about, have you got and how much? You know, book it, bill it, ship it.
Yeah.
And then distribution kind of evolved. Then we had things like pre-sales, post-sales, you know, and then all the other stuff that goes with distribution, you know, finance, all the other fluffy stuff. But what's been there almost since day one was pre-sales and post-sales and customer services. They've always been there.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. You know, every time you mention moving boxes from point A to point B, I'm getting PTSD to when we had to deal with all the Brexit fallout. So I need a moment to try to. So now you mentioned that you don't want your customers to ever have to talk to customer service because it means something goes wrong. So now I want to explore that just a little bit. If a customer does have something go wrong, which, you know, it does, it always does, and that customer calling in, do you want the customer talking to you? You know, if your responsibility is to go out selling, go out hunting, find new customers, are you trying to manage that relationship by being the guy talking to the customer with the problem? Or are you happy that you have a team in place that can deflect those from you to help you focus on building some new business and getting paid?
Well, that's a double-edged sword, if I'm honest, because yes, you know, if I'm talking to a customer, I personally look at that, I own that relationship. But is it my job to resolve the problem, you know, be it at, you know, outside of sales? Probably not. Probably not. So, yes, I want that support. 100% I want that support of a team or a company that can resolve the problem for me. But at the same time, you know, it's I wouldn't say it's nice. It's a nice problem to have, I suppose, where the customer wants to come to me, wants to bring their woes to me. But yes, I want to be able to resolve it by maybe putting them to the right team or the right company that can solve those problems for them.
Yeah, it's like it adds a perception of size. So yeah. Troy is just a guy out there hunting. He makes a sale to somebody. And then if that same person has to go back to just Troy, and as far as they're concerned, it's just Troy. But if Troy can say, hey, I've got these support services that I can, you know, refer you to or get you connected with, he can still be the hero in getting the answer and also look much bigger, right? It's a bigger organization. Like, nobody wants to buy from a guy with a trench coat. You
know? I think it's win-win. It's win for me that my customer trusts me in that they can come to me, but they also trust me that I can put them onto the relevant people that are going to solve the problem for them.
That makes sense.
Well, you know, my perspective, and I don't know, Troy, you can agree with this or not, is, you know, when I was over there, I wanted to make sure that our sales team was selling. And if there was ever a reason that they weren't, if it was price issue, if it was availability, if it was technical failures, my objective was to remove those barriers to sales. So in my mind, if there's a customer calling you, Troy, rather than you calling a customer, you can always say, oh yeah, the reason I didn't hit my quota this week is because I had to deal with all these customer issues. There was all this fallout, all these calls that were inbound coming in. My goal was to make sure that that would never happen, so that you could be focused on selling.
100%. And I remember it well. I mean, it was, I think we used to refer to it as noise.
Exactly.
And you're absolutely right, Matt. It's, you know, whilst, yes, it would have been my job to go out and sell stuff, close deals. You know, I still want to, as an account manager, I want to know what's going on with that business, but it's probably more efficient for the customer if they're routed to the correct person, correct team, straight away. So, I think it's important that you have these defined routes. You know, this is the relationship man. He owns the account. This is the customer services. These ones will fix your problems for you.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it. I mean, you know that with your accounts, they're going to be repeat customers. You want to manage that relationship to make sure they keep coming back and they keep buying more, but you don't want to have to spend the time to do that. You just want to keep your finger on the pulse, make sure they're happy, make sure they're coming back, where all that heavy lifting of problem solving, you know who can handle that. You trust you have a team in place that'll be able to deal with that.
Yeah, 100%. And you know what? Something I've seen in the last couple of years at work is a shift in I suppose, almost selling tactics, selling, you know, in, within network, it was always about speeds and big packets and how quickly and how efficient and how secure. And now you've got vendors out there talking about experience first for the end user, you know, getting that experience right for the end user. Yep. And if you can get that right, and I think what they've kind of done is they've taken the whole customer experience or customer service bit and put that at the front mm-hmm. of the speed of a switch, how quick a router can move a packet, how big the packet is. So I think that the whole customer service thing is going to become more relevant as we move forward for the next couple of years as a selling point around a product.
It's a big differentiator. I mean, yep. if everybody's doing something, what value can you add? And if your value is team of experts or superior support, I mean, slam dunk, right?
Yeah. I mean, if every product's exactly the same, all you can do to win a customer is to provide better service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that, you know, you could line three or four switches up different vendors. And, you know, we all know what a switch does. You know, some might do it a bit faster than others. Some might have less downtime. But if one is talking about the customer, the end user experience, above speeds and backplane speeds and number of ports, that's different to me. That's a real different thing. And there is a vendor out there talking about, you know, experience first networking. And mm-hmm. I think they're really kind of dragging that. Our products are good. They're really good. But we're putting that network, that customer experience.
Yeah.
And I think that's I've never seen that in a networking company, try and sell a switch based on a customer experience.
Well, that's fantastic. And Troy, you've been doing this for a long time. You said something about speeds. You know, my mind went straight to like 100 gig, 400 gig.
Yep.
Do you remember the first, I don't know, network equipment that you sold and, you know, what speed was it? I mean, let's go back in time a little.
Didn't they use smoke signals back then?
pigeons, maybe.
Yeah. So I'll tell you as a little story. So my first job at a networking company, I picked up the phone and somebody wanted some Wi-Fi equipment.
Uh-huh.
And I was given a quick reference guide to quite a big networking company. You may have heard of them. Start with C, end in O. And didn't really know anything. I was, here's your desk, here's your phone. And the first call I took was, I want some Wi-Fi. So Wi-Fi back then was wizardry. You know, it was a dark art. And I think we were talking, I think I had 128 dial-up in.
Nice.
So we were talking about Wi-Fi. It was like A or something back then, I think.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we were, you know, 1 gig to the desk, mate. I don't know what we were. It was a long time ago.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, I mean, dial-up and Wi-Fi seem like they were just different eras entirely. I'm surprised there's even some overlap then.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a long time ago. Long time ago. But yeah, it was Wi-Fi was I think the first. So not I wouldn't say solution, but it was the I think it was 100 was it 120 bit or something. I can't remember. That's how long ago it was.
All right. So now, you know, we usually end our podcast with some sort of tech support horror story. You know, not always tech support. And I don't want to put you on the spot with a particular story. We've alluded to the fact that you're a little bit long in the tooth. So rather than calling you old, exactly, let's just call you wise. Maybe rather than a story, do you have any words of wisdom you want to share with our audience?
Well, I think as we go through life, and you can look at, you know, anything from a cable company, buying a car, a shopping trip, anything. There's at some point everybody is going to experience some sort of what they consider bad customer service or bad service, you know, and that happens. You know, sometimes it will get resolved, sometimes it won't. But somebody once said to me is look back but don't stare. So I could, you know, I could probably name hundreds of times I've had bad experiences. But, you know, if I spent my life complaining about them, I'm probably one, I was going to say end up old. I'm going to end up older and probably sour. But, you know, maybe it wasn't that person's fault. Maybe it wasn't the company's fault.
Yeah.
Maybe it was partly my fault. I don't know. But, yeah. Look back, but don't stare. That's my words of wisdom for you.
Sounds like next flight on American Airlines.
All right, Troy, we appreciate you you joining the podcast. We love to hear the accent. Glad to hear you're doing well.
Hey, it's good to catch up with you, Matt.
Yeah, likewise.
Thanks, Troy. You think this is going to catch him off guard?
Vroom, vroom. Vroom, vroom.